Welcome back to Canucks Talk Sportsnet 650. Jamie Dodd now joined by my co-host, Canucks insider Thomas Drance, who also covers the team for The Athletic. Canucks Talk brought to you by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Be a champion on the worksite. Find them together online at DLEAMC.com. We are live from the Kintec studio. Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? 650, 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. Drancer, hello.
Hello.
We haven't done the whiteboard yet.
We're going to do the whiteboard.
We're going to do the whiteboard. So let's get right into the whiteboard.
Good bands by you and me, by the way.
I was like, I don't even want to banter.
No.
Because right now, fellas. We hey, just have
and I was whiteboard. Picking up what you were putting down until I was like, I think I need to address the fact that we banted so badly.
It wasn't bad. It was opting out of banter.
It was more bunt than bant.
Sure. All right. What am I doing? Your daily deep dive into what's up with the Canucks for today, April 23rd. And of course, the headline is no Thatcher Demko tonight in game two of the first round series against Nashville. Questionable for the rest of the series. Drancer, I've had my say. What say you?
You knew the moment he wasn't on the ice for the optional morning skate that something was afoot. Right? I did notice that Silovs had been removed from the NHL roster early in the morning, kind of thought nothing of it. One of those moments where you wish you'd picked up and pulled on that particular thread.
Mm.
But Demko skates every game day. Like, every game day, he has this pretty intensive starter's routine. He's out on the ice before his teammates. He goes through these drills, these positional drills with Ian Clark. He takes part in morning skate. They have a talk. He's first off. Like, it's an established routine. And the thing about Demko is, even if the Canucks are playing, like, the second leg of a back-to-back on the road, and they've flown in and landed, you know, X spot Columbus at 3 a.m., right? No one else skates except the scratches with Demko, who goes through the same routine, right? Mm-hmm. So you knew when he wasn't on the ice that it wasn't good. Rick Tocchet confirming that Thatcher Demko is out for game two. A variety of reporting, including from our crossover colleague, Czech TV and The Athletic's Rick Dhaliwal, that Demko is out for game two. Dhaliwal captions it as possibly the series. My understanding is questionable. And everyone is reporting that it's not a new, sounds like a new injury, not something from the past. Now, this does matter, even if, because there are other reports out there, including from Farhan Lalji, that
same knee, that the injury different injury, same knee.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think what's material about not, like, the material about the fact that it's probably a new injury is that it's not a setback. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Demko missed 5 weeks, 5.5 weeks due to a knee injury, you know, sustained in March 9th against the Winnipeg Jets. Returned, played two regular season games, looked well, looked spry, played well in game one,
yeah.
Stopped 20 of 22 shots faced, quality start in the victory, made some really great saves, especially early against Anthony Beauvillier. So the fact that it's not a setback, I think, should give you some hope that what the Canucks are looking at here isn't the sort of thing where you're moving forward without Demko forever, so much as you're in a spot where you're going to need Casey DeSmith and Artur Silovs, if it comes to that, to come in and buy you time.
Mm.
Buy you and buy Demko time to return. No question, this is a huge story, a significant loss. We know the history of goalie injuries, especially in the first round in this market. We've gone over it ever since Demko got hurt. And I think this sort of just brings us back, as confident as the club was that Demko would benefit from the rest. You know, our analysis when the injury first happened was, who knows what this does more than anything is add uncertainty into the equation in an area where, you know, we've long talked, quite rightly, about Canucks goaltending as a major strength of the team,
mm-hmm.
right? We've looked at Demko, quite rightly, as a goaltender capable of stealing a win, stealing an outright series. And you can't look at DeSmith that way.
Nope.
And that's okay. I loved Tocchet's commentary today that what we want is Casey to be Casey, right? This team has won games with Casey DeSmith in net. Right, they haven't won them at the 35 wins and 51 starts that they've won them with Demko in net, but they've managed to pick up points in, what, 18 of the 27 games in which he's got a decision? Although I guess if you frame it as they've only won 12 of 27, it maybe feels a little less
mm-hmm.
Hurrah. Nonetheless, we've seen DeSmith play mostly at a level where a game will be won or lost based on what happens in front of him, as opposed to based on his form. And for me, that's kind of the test here, right? At the start of the year, we've gone over it a million times. Jim Rutherford's commentary, we're a playoff team if everything goes right. And occasionally, I make sure to bring up the what comes next, which was the aspirational part of the commentary. Like, eventually, we want to get to become a team where things can go wrong and we can overcome it. Over the course of this year, we've seen this team lock down things defensively. We've seen this team improve as sort of a robust five-on-five structural unit. We've seen them launch themselves from being like, hey, wow, man, they're improved defensively, to being like, this might be one of the best defensive teams in the league. We've seen this team add what I'd call like luck proofing, the sort of core of steel that a team needs to have things go against them, calls, things you try don't work, things your opponent try work, injuries, all of that stuff that I ultimately think comes out in PDO. Like, we've seen this team show the mettle to keep coming even when they're running uphill, right? To be able to win despite sort of forces working against them, despite gravity. And that's the test now. You know, you advance in this series if you win 3 of 6. So even if Demko's out, mm-hmm. worst case scenario for the full series, 500 the rest of the way against the Predators, and you will advance. And that buys Demko 2 weeks. You know, like you just buy time. You win games. You need DeSmith to be good enough that you can make the difference in front of him as a team. He's been at that level all year. You know, this isn't decisive. Vegas, for example, only downgraded. I guess I could wait till the betting odds. But Vegas only downgraded Vancouver's odds of winning the series from minus 310 to minus 270.
So not
in the
a
wake
big drop.
Of this news. So it's not as if they're panicking. Vancouver's odds of winning tonight only dropped from minus 165 to minus 130. So it's significant. Implied probability swing there is solid. I mean, we're talking about a more than 10% swing, so it's not nothing, but it's not, wow, this changes everything, at least from Vegas's point of view. Vancouver, they still rate as the better team at home with a game in hand already, 3 more games at home over the balance of the series. Vancouver's still very well positioned, but they are going to have to tighten it up, and they're going to have to show us how far they've come on sort of that Rutherfordian scale, right? Between mm-hmm. being a playoff team if everything goes right and being that team that can overcome. How close have they come to that? We're about to find out tonight.
Well, and the commentary I've pointed to a couple times in the first hour from Jim Rutherford is going back even further to what, remember, the asked about the team and the quote was, we have a great goalie, right? And the implication was, they need that great goaltending to win on a night-to-night basis. And really what he's undertaken since then, along with Patrick Alvin, is trying to make that not the case, trying to make the team more than just a great goalie. And we've seen the fruits of that. We've seen them pay that off with their defensive performance. Now you have to do it in a completely different environment, though,
yep.
right? In a playoff series against a talented offensive team. You know, we talked so much about how good the Nashville Predators were at generating scoring chances, generating offense in the latter half of the season. So it's the bar is raised significantly, but I don't believe for a second that it's a bar that the Canucks are unable to clear. Not for a second.
No. This makes the sledding more difficult.
100%.
Without question, right? It's like if you're setting out on an expedition, this is a storm. You know, you're like, we hope we get good weather. You haven't.
Uh-huh.
I hope you packed right. You know, But I do think it's worth noting the danger that Nashville poses. Like, one thing about those teams that generate quality chances the way the Predators can, and the way they did certainly in the first half of Game 2, and certainly not in the second half of Game 2. Or sorry, Game 1, excuse me. When you generate shots and looks and scoring chances at the volume that the Predators can, it's not that guarantees you anything, especially against a really good defensive club that completely locked down your top line, but it does amp up the danger, right? Like, the upside case for the Predators as a team with some serious skill and some serious first shot scoring ability, shooting against a backup is high, something to be mindful of, something to contain. And this is the other thing, like the thing about the life of an NHL backup. And we talked about this a little bit when DeSmith's form flagged down the stretch, right? And I sort of tended to, I don't want to say like have his back, but I tended to think that the criticism coming his way was uncalled for, given the body of work given the goals he was surrendering, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
But the life cycle of an NHL backup is, and frankly, it's for starters in the playoffs too. You face the same opponent 4 or 5 times in the event that that's what Smith's going to have to do here, and you're going to get tested. They're going to find weak spots. Hockey players, hockey teams are expert level at probing for weakness. So, you know, tonight to me feels important. Obviously, it's important, but it's especially important in some ways because as you have a backup in for longer, for more time, it's more likely that the seams begin to show. That's true for any goaltender, but I do think it's especially true for goaltenders that are outside the elite tier.
100%, it's more true for backups generally as a class, right? Like, that's one of the reasons you're a backup goalie.
For a guy who's like the 45th best goaltender on the planet as opposed to a guy who's in the top 10. You know, it's a stark difference, and it's a difference that you begin to see usually as the sample expands. So tonight for me feels additionally high leverage from a Vancouver perspective.
The other, how important was that game one win now, right?
Yeah,
to give yourself holy cow, to give yourself the cushion, just a one game cushion, but still a cushion going into the rest of the series with Casey DeSmith in net. And, you know, goaltending injuries are so fascinating because, look, as Nikita Zadorov said, and I want to talk to you a little bit just about kind of the mood in the room after this, but as Nikita Zadorov said, injuries happen in the playoffs. You have to deal with things like this, and the Canucks are going to have to find a way to work through it. But, you know, the thing of goalie injuries is sometimes the most random, unexpected goalies get hot. And as you said, it's not like they need Casey DeSmith necessarily for the rest of the playoffs. They might need him for 3 or 4 games here. You have no idea what he's going to look like over the next 3 or 4 games. It could be disastrous. It could be really, really good, right? And obviously, Thatcher Demko has a way better chance of turning in those performances than Casey DeSmith does. We all understand that. But it's just such a wild card situation, right, to be going to your backup in this type of scenario. And I totally hear you when you point out, you know, Nashville is going to look for those weaknesses into Smith. Andrew Burnett's a really, really smart coach. That's a really well-coached, well-prepared team. So that's something to be on the lookout for. But this is the NHL playoffs. We see weird goaltending performances in either direction of the spectrum all the time.
For sure. And look, both teams that made the Stanley Cup final last year used backup goaltenders in the first round of their playoff series. Like, you know, Alex Lyon went 1 for 2. But in that win, he stopped 34 shots. He stopped 34 shots, and Florida beat Boston in Boston in the second game of the series. You know, they lose game 3 at home, and he doesn't play well. But in some ways, that win set Boston up for what came as the series went along. Laurent Brossoit for the Vegas Golden Knights. You know, a couple of years ago in the playoffs, like the Stanley Cup winner, the Colorado Avalanche, had an injury to Darcy Kemper and needed Pavel Francouz to start every game of the Western Conference Final, and the 2 games against the Predators, by the way, that got them there in the second round. And he won all 4. He won all 4 against Connor McDavid and company. You know, these days, if you're an NHL team hoping your playoff run extends into late May and early June, it's a 2 goaltender effort. Mm. Like, you're usually going to need both guys. And so, in some ways, the question, like, There's sort of a 3-pronged question here, I think, that stems from today's news. One is, can DeSmith hold the fort? Okay, well, we're going to start to get our answer tonight. The second is, will Demko be back? And when he is back this time, you know, is it last?
How much does it affect him?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Right. Are we getting the Demko that we saw in game one and that we've seen since his return to injury, where you can imagine, dream on him getting hot and carrying this team deep into the postseason?
Mm-hmm.
And then the third one is, you know, can this team overcome? Can this team show the mettle to respond to this challenge, not let it impact them, tighten up their defensive game, accept that this is now a slightly different series, a slightly more fraught series against a very good offensive team, and find a way to get 3 of the next 6 wins? Like, win 3 of the next 6 games. That's it. Those are the 3 questions stemming from this. They absolutely still can win this series.
100%.
But there's no question that the hill is steeper to climb now.
Quickly, Were you in the room after optional skate?
I was not.
Okay, never mind that. I was going to ask you about the vibe in the room, but I will not do that to you, because I do think the player reaction is a really fascinating one. And we heard from Rick Tocchet briefly earlier in the show. We'll try to play his full commentary at some point. And, you know, he basically said they can't play any different, right? Like, just because it's Casey DeSmith and net, it's not as if he wants them out there doing, you know, in his wording, like toe drags at the blue line in front of Demko anyway. So keep paying attention to those details. Remain in your structure. That's what's gotten them here, and that's what's going to help them against Casey DeSmith as well. Okay, look, we got a lot more time to get into the Thatcher Demko side of things here. Kevin Woodley is going to join us in the final segment, so really excited to talk to Woodley about DeSmith, about the Demko injury, anything he picked up on from Demko in game one. So make sure you tune in for that. Headline is obviously Canucks trying to go up 2-0 in the series over Nashville. In terms of lineup notes, yes, Thatcher Demko is out. Casey DeSmith will get the start. Rick Tocchet said no other lineup changes. Now, as Dan Reach and I were chatting about, doesn't necessarily mean it'll be identical line configurations, just that it'll be the same guys taking the ice. I do wonder if Ilya Mikheyev maybe gets a look up the lineup in place of Sam Lafferty at some point, whether it's to start the game or later on in the game, because, you know, as Rick Tocchet spoke about yesterday, the Pettersson line was just okay, and I think with Thatcher Demko out, you need more than that, especially now, from Elias Pettersson and Nils Höglander. So I wonder how much of a tweak we might see there. Betting odds. I know you touched on it quickly, but do you want to give us a little bit more on what this has done to the markets?
Yeah, sure. The Vancouver Canucks are now -130 to win tonight. That's down a fair bit from -165. Over-under is set at 5.5. And there is steam on the under. So the one impact that this has had is that bettors are betting, are mashing the over here.
Yes.
As you can expect, without Thatcher Demko, doing Thatcher Demko stuff as a general rule. So that's where the betting market sits. Bettors favoring the over here, and the Canucks still favored at home in game two against Nashville.
All right, that's the whiteboard. Just take a couple listener texts here before we go to break. LJ texts in, has Casey DeSmith played a playoff game in the past? And we mentioned this with Reach, and as John Shorthouse texted me, Casey DeSmith in that playoff game in 2022 for the Penguins stopped 48 out of 51, but he got hurt in the game. Louis Domingue came in, stopped 17 out of 17 in a triple overtime win for the Rangers. That was the famous spicy pork game for Louis Domingue, where he came in and got the win for the Pittsburgh Penguins. So great numbers for Casey DeSmith, 48 out of 51 shots in that one, but did end up having to leave the game and not pick up the decision in his one career NHL playoff game. Another aspect that's interesting to me here is how likely... Let's say Thatcher Demko is out for the series. How likely, what would have to happen for Artur Seelofs to come in at some point? Or is this Casey DeSmith's series to run with here?
You certainly hope that it's Casey DeSmith's series to run with, because, provided that he's giving you baseline solid goaltending, you'd hope that there's no need to go...
To make a switch,
right? The first switch has happened because something has gone wrong. We definitely don't want to see a second switch happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Seelofs, it's a really interesting one, because the Canucks picked up points in all four of his games, and I thought there were a lot of really good moments from a really athletic goaltender, and also there was the sort of inconsistency that you expect to see from a young goaltender who maybe is prone to being a little bit too aggressive, right? And that's really the gap. Like, there are saves that Seelofs is going to be able to make because of his size, because of his athleticism, that DeSmith can't. And yet there are going to be saves, or at least saves that DeSmith will make because he's calm, because he's sort of more of a technical master, more of a vet than Seelofs. And so there's an inconsistency, I think, that we've seen evidence of in Seelofs over the course of the season. By the way, not remotely unusual. This isn't criticism of a young goaltender who I think is enormously talented. Like, this is the learning experience. This is partly why we very rarely see like a 23-year-old starter in the NHL these days, right? Most of these guys wait till they're 25.
Mm-hmm.
Seelofs is already advanced, like, well beyond what you'd usually expect from a goaltender his age in terms of his pro experience. But so, for me, Seelofs would be something of a Hail Mary pass. You know, up 1-0 in the series. You need 3 of the next 6. You go with the baseline. And I think if we see C-Loves, it's going to be because, you know, A, Demko's day-to-day injury has become protracted, and B, the Canucks need to throw something aggressive. They need to pull something out of their bag of tricks. They need something to really shift the momentum of the series. So hopefully we're not talking about that. But look, between C-Loves and DeSmith, I think you should feel like the Canucks have enough goaltending depth that they're going to win or lose this series on their own merits.
Yeah.
Not simply because of the goaltending behind them.
All right. That's the latest on Thatcher Demko. If you're just joining us, again, Thatcher Demko out for game 2, questionable for the rest of the series, and sounds like it's a knee issue, although not the same issue that kept him out for games late in the regular season. We will take a break. Lots of text coming in. I do want to talk about some of the other non-Thatcher Demko storylines going into this game as well, so we'll try to do that. Maybe hear from Rick Tocchet in the next segment as well. It is Canucks Talk here on Sportsnet 650.